Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, inviting you to our virtual living room, where we discuss today's issues and how those issues relate to the Holy Scriptures. So sit back, relax, and engage in conversation with us.
Good afternoon, and the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. I am Josiah, and welcome to our virtual living room, where we examine recent events and other topics as they pertain to the Holy Scriptures. Today's topic surrounds a cheerleader who refused to perform a booty dance as one of the 40 routines. And joining me today in the virtual living room to discuss this topic, I have first off our brother Abaja.
Hey, shalom everyone. Greetings. Most High in the name of Christ bless. It's good to be here.
And we also have with us our brother Kabar.
Yeah, shalom. Good to be with you listeners this early Sunday morning, giving up to the Heavenly Father.
Now, I'd just like to make all the listeners aware that in the show description on the show page, there is a link to this article about this cheerleader who was pretty much kicked off, well, not pretty much, was kicked off the team because she took exception to one of the routines that required her to shake her booty. And I'd like to read the article in its entirety just to get started. It's not a very long article. The title of it is Cheerleader Done for Not Shaking Her Booty, and this comes from FoxNews.com, dated October 21st, 2010. It reads, an 11-year-old Nebraska girl was kicked off her cheerleading squad after complaining to her coach that she didn't want to shake her booty. The girl's mother told FoxNews.com Wednesday. Sabrina Frampton said her daughter, Faylene, was told last week that she was no longer part of the junior cheerleading squad in Ashland, Nebraska, after objecting to one of the group's 40-plus cheers. She had mentioned to the coach earlier in the year that she didn't like it, Sabrina Frampton said. Being the older girl on the squad this year, she felt a little more uncomfortable shaking her booty than the other girls. Frampton said her daughter's fourth year on the Blue Jays team of girls, ages 5 to 12, was cut unnecessarily short due to her concerns about one of the cheers that included the phrase, jump, shake your booty, jump, jump, shake your booty. Frampton continued. When she spoke up, the coach said that it was not her decision to make. The volunteer coach, Tony Harris, later told the girl on October 11th that she was no longer welcome on the team for his remaining two games, Frampton said. Harris, who could not be reached for comment, told WOWT.com the cheer is a crowd pleaser and that she had never received any prior complaints. I just thought it was best to ask her not to participate for the last few games, Harris told the website. Okay, now, I don't know how many of you have witnessed Little League cheerleaders. I'm pretty sure everybody's probably seen, at least on television, football games, basketball games or something, cheerleaders of some sort. And I'm not sure what your thoughts are about people participating or young girls and even grown women participating as cheerleaders. But we just kind of go and explore this subject and, you know, talk about a few things. You know, in this particular situation, you know, should the coach have handled things differently? Should the coach maybe have come up with some type of compromise? Or was she justified in kicking the little girl off the team because she was insubordinate? Or was the little girl justified because if she felt uncomfortable doing that, did she do the right thing by saying, hey, listen, I don't feel comfortable with this cheer, and I don't want to do that one. There's 40 other cheers that they could have done, so she could have participated in all those cheers and just sat out that particular one. Are there some other issues that are involved here that people are just not talking about in this particular article that needs to be explored in regard to cheerleaders? Especially little league cheerleaders, these little girls going around Sherry. So, Gabar, I'll start with you. Should there have been a compromise made between the coach and the little girl? Would that have been a more appropriate way to handle this?
Well, if the compromise would have included something along the lines of proper behavior, I think that, you know, when we look at the larger question in this, what are these young ladies, how are they being trained? What's the message that's coming across to them? Because, you know, when you're dealing in this particular situation about, you know, the young lady, the reason she's being punished, so to speak, by being kicked off the team is because she wouldn't shake her behind. You know, and what kind of message is that sending to all the other girls? You know, if you don't conform, you have to deal with being singled out and punished. If you don't show your body, or if you don't gyrate in public, or if you don't do what people want to see, because, you know, as they said, this is the crowd pleasers, which brings to my mind who is this pleasing in the crowd? I would think his parents there with their children. How is this being a crowd pleaser? I mean, what's going on? Got adults there looking at little girls gyrating around. So that's the larger message that we actually need to address. What message is coming across to these young ladies? And as they grow and develop their minds and bodies, what are they going to be seen as, proper behavior and improper behavior, if when you do something that you feel is maybe immoral or a bit revealing or maybe even embarrassing to you, exposing your body? If you do take a stance on that, you're going to be punished. You know, that's what we need to focus on and look at. What's proper for these young ladies? What's the message being sent to them?
So what type of message are you suggesting that is being sent to them?
Well, the thing is, like the article said, you know, she's the age group of this cheerleading squad is from 5 to 12. Of course, she's 11, so she's one of the older in the group. And it seems to me that she's old enough to look at it, because she even says in the article that she didn't see how it related to the game, or that was even important. Remember, this is just one cheer out of 40 that she took exception to, because she's able to make a decision and a distinction between the other cheers and this one in particular, and say, well, this one here, why do we have to do this particular cheer? It's not, you know, it's not boosting the team up or anything like that. Why do we have to shake our behinds in front of all of these people? Whereas the other younger girls were not able to make that distinction, just going along with what they're being told. So it brings another question. Are these adults taking advantage of these little girls because they can't make that distinction where the older one was able to make that? So, you know, there's some serious questions when you begin to peel back and look at it. What's going on in these adults' minds? How are they training these little two?
Yeah, you're right about that. Now, Bajit, you know, there's an element involved in this situation that just about everybody will face in life. I don't know if there's anybody who won't face this, and this is where you are a subordinate, where there's some, you're part of some organization, and there's some authority or figure over you who has responsibility to direct your activities. And under those circumstances, oftentimes, whatever they say is golden. You've got to go by it. Especially when you start dealing with things like sports, you deal with the military, and oftentimes inside major corporations, if they tell you to do it, then you need to just go ahead and do it, and it's not to be questioned. Now, is this a situation where this little girl is learning one of life's lessons, that if you're insubordinate, that you're subject to suffer the consequences, and the consequences might mean that you may be kicked out of the military, you may be kicked off the team, you could end up losing your job?
Well, part of that is actually true, because the thing is, when you read the scriptures, you know, to actually stand for quote-unquote morals, or in the context of what we deal with, when you look at the things that the scriptures require of us when we follow Christ, then, yeah, those are things that you are going to have to deal with as far as, you know, possibly facing some type of reprimand or, you know, like in her case, being kicked off the squad. But when you look at the examples of people in the scriptures that stood for righteousness, you know, Daniel was put in the lion's den, but the Lord delivered him out of that. You know, so the thing is that when we, you know, the scriptures talk about suffering for righteousness' sake and how that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father, because in a lot of situations, what we, you know, we think that is something that's, you know, we did something that was like, I guess, detrimental or something that's going to, you know, cause us to receive harm or cause us to not advance. When we do things that are pleasing to the Heavenly Father, He actually is removing us out of one situation to bring us into a better one, or even just something different completely.
Okay, now, you mentioned suffering for righteousness' sake. Now, the article mentions that the little girl was uncomfortable shaking her booty, but it doesn't go into any real detail as to why. So why you mentioned suffering for righteousness' sake? Is there something that, like, is there some righteous deed that's going on here? Because I understand, you know, if you look at any pro sport, you're going to see booty shaking going on with, in regards to the cheerleaders.
Of course. That's the whole nature of the cheerleader. Because the thing is, we'll keep it in the context of what this 11-year-old girl is dealing with. Okay, her parents may have, you know, allowed her to join the cheerleading squad just as an activity, you know, an extracurricular activity, something to help broaden her horizons, if you will, or give her something to do to help build self-esteem, whatever. You know, people, you know, put their children in sports for many reasons. So when she did, you know, when that decision was made, you know, obviously, depending on what attire these young ladies were wearing, the parents were obviously okay with that. You know, and as far as some of the cheers are intended, and I'm being kind of long-winded about it, but there's a point to it. The cheers are basically supposed to help build enthusiasm for the team, to help them motivate themselves to win. Okay, so everybody understands that. But the nature of those things, when you see the, you know, the scantily clad women, if you will, or women that are half naked, that's not, you know, things that it, what they would call suggestive. Okay, to shake your booty in this society is not necessarily what they would consider suggestive, but you don't read about, when you read about people shaking their booty in the scriptures, that was exactly what Israel was doing at the bottom of the mount when they made that golden calf, talking about this is the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. So, you know, the thing is that a lot of that is kind of leads into, you know, basically it's the beginning of planting the seeds of immorality. Because now you're shaking your booty in front of a crowd, you know, that basically can embed into a child's understanding, okay, well, it's okay if I jump up in front of a crowd of people half naked and start shaking my butt. You know, that's what gets everybody excited and everything else. So that's not the character of righteousness when you read the scriptures. As a matter of fact, I want to read Ecclesiasticus. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, bro.
I want to read Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 7. And I'm going to start at, let me see here. I'm going to start at verse 23. It says, "Hast thou children? Instruct them, and bow down their neck from the youth. Hast thou daughters? Have a care of their body, and show not thyself cheerful toward them. Marry thy daughter, and so shalt thou have performed a weighty matter, but give her to a man of understanding." So the thing is, someone without any understanding just reading this is like, okay, don't be cheerful towards your daughter and bow down their neck. You're supposed to be hard on them. No, it says basically if you have children, you're supposed to instruct them. And that bow down their neck from their youth, that basically means you put them into activities that are going to be constructive. You deal with them according, first and foremost, according to the scriptures and the understanding of Jesus Christ. That's the first and foremost. That bow down that neck means that first they're going to learn to be in subjection to the Heavenly Father and to Christ and then to the parents. That's the bow down their neck from the youth. And the parents, the father and the mother, have the responsibility of teaching their children and raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as it says in the New Testament. But 24 is really the kicker here. It says, "Hast thou daughters?" So it's speaking specifically about the young ladies. Okay, it says, "Hast thou daughters? Have a care of their body, and show not thyself cheerful toward them. So that have care of their body and show not that self fearful toward them is going into the parents. And this is dealing a lot of the times with the father or even the mother. You know, it's dealing with both the parents about teaching their daughters on how to be godly and to not, you know, basically conduct themselves in a manner of a loose woman, okay, or whorish woman, as the scriptures call it. You know, show not that self cheerful towards them when they start getting sassy and start acting all cute and stuff to try and get their way, thinking that that's the way that they're supposed to conduct themselves. You as a parent are supposed to check that and say, listen, you're not going to carry yourself in that manner. And it even goes on to verse 25 when it says, marry thy daughter, so shalt thou have performed a weighty matter. Basically going right back to the responsibilities of the parents to filter out those men that would have an interest in their daughter, but they're not men of the Heavenly Father in Christ. They're not men of repentance. Okay, because you could have a man that has an interest in your daughter, and his only interest might be to pimp her out. Okay, it might be just to lay with her and have no intentions of dealing with her as a wife. So that's a very, very serious matter. And it's showing you that having children is nothing to, you know, just to blink at or whatever. It's not like you buying a shirt or you have a car or something.
Wow. You just said a lot. Kabar, one of the things that Abaji just mentioned was the statement he made was planting seeds or immorality. Okay, now, when you consider that cheerleaders of this age, for the most part, are imitating adult cheerleaders, college and professional cheerleaders. You know, there's some aspiration to get to that point. You know, on some level, a statement that, you know, at that age, in some aspect, you're planting a seed of immorality, indicates there's something immoral about college level and professional cheerleaders. Is that the case? Is there something immoral about that?
How about being a cheerleader, period?
Yes. Well, I guess being a cheerleader, period, or, these college and adult cheerleaders, is there something immoral about anything that they're doing?
Well, this is the thing. You know, those are the decisions as we grow up and as we learn and learn how to move in society. We have to base all of our decisions, you know, on the guidance of the scriptures. 1 Timothy 2:9 tells us, and dealing specifically with this issue of female cheerleaders of whatever age, because the actions in the dress is pretty much the same whether the girl is 11 or 21 or 35. You know what I mean? You look at professional football games, you see what they're wearing, and you look at a junior high school game, they're wearing the same exact thing.
Yeah, so correct one thing that you just said there. Don't have any 35-year-old professional cheerleaders.
they probably do, but, you know, faceless and things like that, you know. But okay. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, dealing specifically with this issue, it tells us, it says, in like manner also that women, okay, adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. Now, this scripture is mostly focusing on women not wearing extravagant, flashy, or overexposing themselves in public, okay? And it talks about modest apparel. Right? You get an idea, okay, so, you know, you'll have people want to fight over, well, what exactly is modest? Okay, we can go to dictionary.com, Webster Dictionary, basically what Western society considers modest, okay? It says, having or showing regard for the decency of behavior, speech, or dress. And as an example of decent, it says a modest neckline on a dress. So the society has an idea of what modest is, okay? And the reason it says that modest neckline on a dress is because it's really making distinction of ones that show a lot of cleavage and ones that don't. So it goes into the exposing of one's physical body, the showing of more skin or flesh on a body as opposed to other things or other kinds of dress that don't. Now, we know when we're dealing with cheerleading, the entire thing is to expose as much of the body as possible without getting arrested for indecent exposure. And if we can get past that indecent exposure thing, especially in the Western societies where we live in, people will be cheerleading naked. So, I mean, that's the type of depravity we have or are going in a direction toward. So the thing is that you read about the scripture that speaks to women directly and tells them about this modest apparel, okay, and how they and shamefacedness and sobriety, meaning humbleness and clear thought, clear thinking, and not being confused as to what is the scripture's position, what is God's position, what is Christ's position as far as how they are supposed to dress, what they're supposed to look like, how they're supposed to conduct themselves, okay? And that's really what females need to focus on. In particular, and when it comes to either sports or jobs or things that demand that we compromise and abandon how we're supposed to live and conduct ourselves as followers of Christ, then we have to make a decision to either follow that thing or obey that thing or follow God and what he said in the scriptures. And, you know, it's a clear decision for those who really want to attain the kingdom of heaven, what type of decisions they're going to be making.
Okay, now, when it comes down to what is deemed modest, and I think you were very clever in the way you brought that out because you didn't come up with any specifics or anything like that, but you basically laid out a definition that people understand what that is. All right, but now, when it comes to these cheerleaders, are you suggesting that their apparel is immodest?
Yeah, by definition of what we understand in the Western world as what modest is, yeah, because you're talking about overexposing of one's body.
Okay, now, when it comes down to exposing your body, you know, like it says in Ecclesiastes, you know, there's a time and a place for things. There's a time, you know, to plant, and there's a time to harvest, et cetera, et cetera. So couldn't there be a time where, you know, your body is going to be, well, obviously there is, you know, if you go to the doctor for a physical, then, you know, there's a time to expose your body. So how do you go about determining that cheering on the sideline at a football game is not a time to expose your body in that fashion?
You know, well, it's probably the one exactly I'm going to go to because he talks about, you know, when is the time to expose your body. Now, the scriptures talk about shamefacedness and sobriety that we just read in Timothy. So, you know, the scriptures talk about a house to cover shame, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's what you was going to go to.
No.
But, you know, the scriptures talk about in Ecclesiastes about there's a house to cover shame or nakedness, okay? So when your body is going to be exposed or your nakedness is going to be exposed, then where would you be? You would be in the privacy of your own house that covers that from what? The public or the outside seeing it. So, yeah, there's a time and a place for everything. And the time to be exposed is not in a stadium with thousands of people looking at you.
Okay. About you, was that where you were going?
No, but what he's quoting is Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 29 and verse 21. It says, "The chief thing for life is water and bread and clothing and a house to cover shame." So that's exactly what he was bringing out, a house to cover shame. So it's going to show you that walking around naked, in, according to the scriptures, out in public, that's a shame because those things are what promotes whoredom. I want to read another scripture, too, Ecclesiastes 19 and 29, since we're dealing with the whole thing of modest apparel and attire. Starting at 29, it says, "A man may be known by his look, and one that hath understanding by his countenance when thou meetest him." So now this person is selling us, because I got to read the next verse, too. It says, "A man may be known by his look, and one that hath understanding by his countenance when thou meetest him." So it's going to show you that the way that we carry ourselves, it basically projects a certain image. Verse 30, a man's attire, meaning what he wears. Because this is specifically what we're dealing with here as far as, you know, some of the attire that they're doing, I mean, that they're wearing, and even going into, you know, what they were doing, the whole thing about the shaking of the booty, you know, it says a man's attire and excessive laughter and gait, going again to what, how they carry themselves, show what he is. So the scriptures clearly show us that there's a certain way that people that want to be promiscuous, if I can use that word, or a loose women dress, and there's a certain way that modest women dress. And by the same token, there's a certain way that modest men and women carry themselves, conduct themselves, the clothes that they wear, their speech, all of those things, we project those things, okay? Because, you have taken it a step further. You know, it's the whole argument, the whole world argument is just because a woman wants to dress, quote-unquote, sexy or whatever, doesn't give a man the right to go up and grab her behind and, you know, just molest her. But we have to understand that when, and that's true, but when women wear those things, then you're going to have people that have no self-control, that have no type of understanding, just approach them the way that they are dressed, in the manner in which they're dressed. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, you can't stick your hand in the fire and not expect to be burnt. Not saying,
you know,
that, again, like I said, not saying that it was right for a man to advance to a woman in that manner and to take, you know, and to deal with her like that, but that's how she's dressed, and that's what she's going to attract.
Okay.
And also, you know, when you go to scriptures like Job, just to get more of a definition, if a person is seeking to get an idea what modesty is and how they would conduct and carry themselves, you know, scripture Job 24:10, as far as when we, our people and how we dealt among each other, in Job chapter 24:10, it says, they cause him to go naked without clothing and take away the sheep from the hungry. Now, that was the wicked of our people, what they were doing, but it shows you just the link, being naked is to be without clothing or covering. Now, we know that covering, you have the house to cover shame or to cover nakedness. Now, remember, Christ said, what? I was naked and you clothed me. So one of those righteous acts you're supposed to do is you have people that are so destitute and poor, they don't even have clothes to cover their body. And the ones that gave them clothing to cover their body, those are the ones that did a good work and considered righteous in Christ's name. So if the proper appearance in public is to be clothed and not to be naked, then how are you going to have cheerleaders or whatever sport you want to call it that exposes their bodies, that causes people to go naked? How is that going to be an acceptable thing, especially with the Lord?
Right, and we also have to understand that, you know, it's not about walking around with a ruler saying, okay, if the hem of your dress is more than 6 inches above your knees, then, you know, that's not modest apparel. That's not even, we're not striving, okay? But when you read the scriptures and we have an understanding, there is such a thing as modest apparel, and there's such a thing as basically dressing provocative.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we are discussing the 11-year-old cheerleader that was booted from her cheerleading squad because she refused to shake her booty.
If you'd like to hear more programming about what the Bible says, please go to WUFOAM.com every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. and click on the Listen Live link. Thank you.
Body of Christ Church in Waterbury. I would like to take this time to invite you or anyone you know that lives in or is planning to visit the Waterbury area of Connecticut. That's covering the areas of Waterbury, Middlebury, Prospect, and Walker, to tune into our show, Revelation of the Testament, airing every Saturday at 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Channel 13. And may the Most High in Christ bless your understanding and increase the fruits of your righteousness.
Ooh. brothers and sisters. At this time, please accept our invitation to visit us in the virtual living room to discuss today's topic. Comments or questions are eagerly encouraged, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints expressed by those involved in the program. To visit us in the virtual living room, please call 646-716-7749. Also, you can visit our website at thebocc.com. That's thebocc.com. Or you can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach.com. UREACH is the letter U followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com or call us at 1-877-871-1712. This program is broadcast live each Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember to visit us right now in the virtual living room by calling 646-716-7749. Now back to today's show.
All right, we're back, and today's topic has to deal with an 11-year-old cheerleader that was booted from her cheerleading squad because she refused to shake her booty. There was one routine where she was required that, you know, the routine required all cheerleaders to shake their booty, and she was squad was composed of girls ages 5 to 12. She's now one of the older girls there, and she, I guess, kind of became aware of a little bit more aware of her body, and did not care to participate in that fashion. And consequently, the coach decided that it was best for her not to participate with the team at all in any cheerleading exercise for the remainder of the season. So now, we talked quite a bit about this whole notion about brothers, about immorality. You know, how, you know, I think about you, you brought out how you don't take a ruler and look to see how many inches above or below the knee a dress goes or whatever. So now, when we're talking about little girls here, and if you're 5 years old, then, of course, you know, you're not setting your standard for immorality. That's being set by parents. And your brothers did hit on a little bit in the scriptures regarding parental roles concerning their daughters especially. Could you speak a little bit more about a parent's role in guiding their children, especially daughters, in regard to the morality, especially at such young ages, 5 years old?
Yeah, and the thing is, too, Josiah, is that I'd like to add that, you know, I admit that I took it to an extreme when I talk about a man seeing a woman that's dressed in a certain way and taking it upon himself to basically, you know, rape her. But we have to understand is that a woman conducting herself in that manner, that has to start somewhere, okay? And we're looking at the seeds of that and the beginning phases of that, dealing right now with what's going on with this 11-year-old girl. You know, these things don't just come out of the blue. And she just wakes up one day and say, you know what, I think I want to go outside and in my lingerie, in my underwear, my panties or whatever. And, you know, just, you know, those things are learned. Those are learned behaviors. Okay. And this is why it's so very important for us as adults, and especially those of us that are parents, to raise our children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I want to read, actually, it was a couple of scriptures that I had. Basically, I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Okay, because the thing is that, you know, the quote-unquote world's understanding of the scriptures a lot of times is, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. And, you know, people want to just focus on, you know, just the quote-unquote negative aspects of it. But chastisement, when you read the scriptures, that's a positive thing, okay? Because that chastisement is helping us to learn right from wrong and to keep us from going down the path that leads to destruction. I want to read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, matter of fact, let me start at 6 verse 2. I'm going to start at 1, I'm sorry. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So first and foremost, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. meaning that the parents are supposed to be teaching the children according to the commandments of the Heavenly Father. They're supposed to be raising their children up with the morals of the Scriptures and with the understanding of Christ, because there's a difference between just reading the Bible versus reading it with the understanding of Christ. And we see that. The example of that is you look at all of these churches in the world. Okay? It says, but this is right. So there is a such thing as a right way and a wrong way to raise your children. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So the promise is, what you read about it in verse 3, it says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So it's going to show you a tangible aspect of your parents raising you up to fear the Heavenly Father, the same way that the Lord blessed his servants that obeyed his voice. Is what the parents are supposed to be teaching the children so that they in turn may be blessed by the Lord also. That's the promise. Going all the way back to when the Heavenly Father gave us the commandments and said that we were supposed to do those things, that it may be well with us. Now, what I really wanted was verse 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So here's where we get the understanding of what that rod is supposed to be. Because the thing is that when you look at how the Heavenly Father deals with us, every time that we make a mistake, the Lord isn't, like, basically beating us upside the head. The Lord isn't just putting us to death just for every little thing that we make, every little mistake that we make. So by the same example, a parent is not going to beat their child for every little mistake that they make. Basically, the punishment has to fit the offense. It's like if a child does something, depending, you have to judge that according to the circumstances. And not just be ready to haul off and just whip the child for every little thing. You have to do it with understanding. Because it's one thing to chastise your child, but if you're not giving them the understanding on why they're being chastised and what it is that they have done wrong and what they're supposed to be doing, see, you create no point of reference for them. All they know is that I'm just getting beaten and my mommy and daddy are just hard, evil people. You know. So there's a certain amount of understanding that's supposed to go with the chastisement when you read the scriptures. But also the other scripture that I wanted to go to, because part of the teaching them that understanding, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to go start at verse 9. It says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with extortioners, or with idolaters, and here's the point, but then must ye needs go out of the world. So it's going to show that, like Christ so proud, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. So the same way that we know that Satan has his time to rule on this earth, and that those people that are not following the Heavenly Father, even though they don't understand it and realize it, they're basically on Satan's team, more or less, then they're going to do those things that are pleasing to their Lord, which is Satan. They don't see it that way, but that's exactly what's going on. So the understanding that we have to give to our children is that, listen, the only way that you're going to avoid this stuff and not just be around it altogether is basically, like I said, then must you needs go out of the world. But being that we're amongst people that are fornicators, we're amongst people that are idolaters and covetous and railers and drunkards and things like that, we have to be those examples or the light of the world, like the scripture says. That's what repentance is about, because notwithstanding, we have to understand that we've all fallen short of the glory, but we also have a choice to make.
Okay, and earlier you had mentioned something about keeping your children involved in various activities. When the scripture said, make them bow their heads, I'm paraphrasing really poorly. You could probably do a better job of paraphrasing.
Oh, bow down about their neck from the youth.
Exactly. All right. And you said that means that you get them involved in various productive activities. So now, with this cheerleading, would that be considered a productive activity aside from the immoral dress? If you could correct that issue, would it be a productive activity?
Well, that's something for a parent to decide. I mean, because the thing is that if you have those young girls that are basically, okay, they're not in, quote-unquote, non-modest apparel, you know, and the cheers that they do aren't, you know, something that could be questioned, you know, that's still a parent's decision to make. But the thing about it is, when you read and see how the things, when you read the scriptures about things pertaining to, you know, how they dealt with our, how parents in the past and the scriptures dealt with their children, you have things like hold him to labor. Basically, as a child coming up, when my mother made me sweep the kitchen, take out the trash, feed the dog, rake the yard, my daddy made me cut the grass, trim the hedges, wash the car, see, all those things, we saw them as just, you know, just busy work. But it took growing, you know, growing into an adult to understand that those are the things that were teaching you discipline. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just about sweeping the kitchen just because, you know, your mother or your father said. So those were the things that, number one, taught you how to keep a clean house. Okay? That taught you how to take care of yourself so that when you were on your own that you wouldn't be living, you know, in just in a destitute place that was trashy. But those things taught you discipline and how to follow instructions. Because the Heavenly Father gives us instructions on how we're supposed to please him. The same way, you know, it calls, the scriptures call that our reasonable service. Okay, when we come and repent through Christ. But on a much lower level, you have those things that you're responsible for when you go to work. Okay, that's your reasonable service. When you go to work, you have a job to do. And if you did not learn how to follow instructions as a child and you did not learn discipline as a child, then you're going to have a very, very difficult time as an adult. And we see that as a result of why a lot of our jails are filled up, how people deal with each other, and just the lack of you know, the spirit of the Heavenly Father just being in the world, you know, on a whole. You know, so that whole thing about, you know, hold him to labor and bow down his neck in their youth, that goes into teaching your children discipline and teaching them to fear the Heavenly Father so that they can do that, learn to do that for themselves when they become an adult.
Okay. All right. Thanks for bringing that out. Well, Kabar, can we go back a little bit and let's talk a little bit more about this whole immoral dress as far as these cheerleaders are concerned? And I was wondering if I could get you to just delve a little bit more into specifically what it is about the way a cheerleader, you know, is the way they're dressed, whether it be our 11-year-old cheerleader or whether it be a 22-year-old cheerleader, specifically what is it about the way they're dressed that is considered to be immoral? Because understand, in this United States, there's nothing wrong with the way cheerleaders dress. I mean, most people would say there's nothing wrong with it. What's wrong with it? Why is that a problem?
Well, I mean, in the United States, you have freedom of religion. In the United States, you can have abortion. In the United States, homosexuality is legal. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that are completely immoral as far as the scripture stands on it that are legal and accepted in the United States. So what the United States accepts or says is permissible in society is completely separate from what the scripture says is proper and right and righteous. So let's not confuse to think so long as it's legal in the United States, then it's okay. That's not what we're dealing with at all.
But you do understand that most people, you know, the things that are accepted by the government and the things that are accepted by society at large, those things people deem to be correct. So now you're speaking to someone who's looking at things like that, and you're talking to them about a cheerleader having an immoral dress, and they get a puzzled look on their face. So how do you explain to them what's immoral about the way this cheerleader is dressing?
Well, it's the same way you take somebody who is against an abortion. They will cite chapter and verse right out of the scriptures to justify their position on being against abortion. But they won't. But you see, on the same token, that they, for some reason, either through lack of understanding or through interest, you know, lack of interest, won't go in the scriptures that tell you about how we're supposed to dress and conduct ourselves. So you see, it's not that people are completely ignorant. It's just what people choose to focus on. So the thing is that, yes, the same scriptures that tell you that abortion is not right, the same way you can get instructions on that is the same way you can get instructions on how we're supposed to dress, what we're supposed to act like, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves.
Now, we know that the reason the cheerleading is an issue is because of what it forces women to dress like, how it forces them to present themselves in public. Okay, that's the issue. All right, so the thing is that when the scriptures give you an outline of what's proper or what's acceptable and how you're supposed to present yourself in public, and then we compare it against what cheerleading, either professionally or unprofessionally, demands of you, you see that, you know, it's not lining up with how the scripture says you should be presenting yourself. And that's where the conflict comes in at. When the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and right, acceptable will of the Heavenly Father. So that's the issue there. We can't be conformed to the world standards. We must be conformed. We must be renewed in our mind to the standard as the scriptures through Christ dictate to us. And that's where the conflict comes in at.
Okay. So now, here's somebody say, okay, well, I still don't understand. Like, everything you just said, you know, here's this cheerleader. You know, I don't see anything wrong. I mean, she's got clothes on. You know, what's wrong with the way she looks? She looks fine.
Well, you know, this is the whole thing. It really goes back to when we were dealing with the issue of parenting, because the problem is not just this one cheerleader or this one mother who have a problem. The problem is with society. Now, communities are made up of groupings of parents. You know, families are made up of the mother and the father having children. So when you start with that basic nucleus of the mother and the father having a child, if that mother and father isn't raised or isn't grounded in a foundation of what the scripture says, what Christ says, what's written in the Bible, then they can't teach their children that. As a result, the community is not in order. As a result, the nation, which is a bunch of communities that make up a nation, is not in order.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to really go back to the root, and the root is that the lack of understanding of God's commandments is missing. So the thing is, when we go into Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, when it tells us, thou shalt teach them diligently, talking about thy children, it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, the commandments of the Lord, right? And it says, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That is the responsibility of the parents, to teach their children these commandments. Now, when the parents do that, what's going to be the result? Well, Proverbs 22 and 6 is going to tell you the result of when the parents do their job. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So when the parents do their job, then the children are equipped to be productive members of society according to the scriptures. And then the whole society will see what's wrong with how a woman being dressed in immodest apparel or exposing her body and her flesh in public is an issue and is a problem, and we'll be able to distinguish between proper dressing behavior and improper dressing behavior as it relates to the scriptures. So you see, the beginning part is really the foundations of the scriptures that the parents are supposed to be in, and in turn teach their children, and as a result, the society understands the direction they're supposed to be going in.
Okay. All right. When you look at this whole thing about the parenting and these little kids, and you look at productive activities. Now, Baji, you talked about things like cleaning your house and all that. Cleaning your house, washing the car, chores around home. Okay. Now, obviously, you know, because this little girl is involved in cheerleading, there are other activities that you can be involved in. Now, maybe cheerleading is one that you don't want your daughter involved in. What activities can you have your daughter involved in, especially ones that, you know, where they can get out and actually use their body, which is actually healthy for your body? So what type of activities would be okay?
You know, I'm not going to go down like a laundry list or anything like that. But, you know, there are different things that are available, you know, to parents and outlets that they can allow their children to be in without being in conflict, you know, of what the understanding of the scriptures is. You know, as far as physical activities, I don't really have any right off the top of my head that I could think of. But, you know, as far as, like, you know, extracurricular activities such as, like, being in the orchestra or the band or something like that. Or, I mean, it really depends. You know, it really depends. Because the thing is, it goes back to, you know, again, laying that foundation of them fearing the Heavenly Father and learning how to conduct themselves in that manner, the same way that the parents have to do it on a daily basis. You know, so I'm kind of drawing a blank on that one.
Okay, okay. What about you, Kabar? You got any ideas?
Well, I mean, there's quite a few, and of course, it would depend on, you know, the particular interests of the children, and the children are going to have many different interests, and it's up to the parents to actually help guide them and really give the structure and the boundaries of, okay, you have these interests. These are the boundaries. These are the limitations of, you know, what those interests could be. But within those, within these guidelines, you have all of these choices. Like, the child can, you know, may choose track and field, and there's a proper way to adjust in that. The child may choose biking or rollerblading or archery, or, you know, there's a whole you know, list of it, where once you understand the guidelines of the scriptures and proper dress and behavior, we have to understand, just because, you know, we have the scriptures and the guide, that's the benefit, having a guide of the scriptures. And then within that, we realize there's a lot of different things that we can involve ourselves in, we can enjoy, as, you know, as far as sports are concerned, as long as we do it in this kind of way. And that way we're protected, and we have the protection of God with us, and we're setting the example along with enjoying those sports. And that's really what we need to focus on. So, there's a whole list of things that a child can do, from physical activities to ones that focus more on the brain. I mean, you know, focus more on the person's mental or whatever. They can write, they can do poetry, they can, you know, do archery, they can do biking, they can do track and field, you know, many things. But the whole thing we have to understand is just, we have to get our foundation in the scriptures, understand what those guidelines are, and then move along those guidelines as far as the activities we get ourselves involved in.
Okay. Abadja, what about the parents that already have their children involved in, daughters involved in cheerleading right now? They listen to this program and say, you know something? These brothers got a good point. I need to make some changes. And they tell their daughters that, listen, next year you're not going to be cheerleading, because the only way you're going to be cheerleading is that you're going to be able to wear a uniform that's going to be deemed to be modest. And you're not going to be doing any suggestive cheers, you know, anything sexually suggestive. You're not going to be involved in those things, okay? Which probably in this case, for example, it means that you're going to be excluded from cheering at all, okay? So, right. So now, how does a parent go about breaking that to their child? Because you can imagine, if the child has their heart, they love cheering, you know, they're good at it, they won awards and so forth, that this is something they want to participate in. So how do you go about it? This is a genuine situation that somebody may be involved in. So how do they go about navigating through this to manage this situation so that it doesn't cause, like, some great conflict? You know, this cheerleader could be 13 years old, and you know how 13-year-old girls can be. You know, they mm-hmm. want what they want. You know what I mean? Otherwise, it can mm-hmm. be real conflict. And especially if you hadn't bought them up from the time that they were very, very young, in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and brought them up to honor their parents and so forth, now here it is at 13, you're setting a different course. How do you go about navigating that?
Well, that's a real heavy question. But let me read 1 John 2:15 first before I answer that question. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So the thing is that as a parent, you know, it's easier in some cases for an adult, or it may seem easier for an adult to make adjustments for those things, you know, for things that as far as dependence is concerned. But basically, you know, as far as dealing with a child in that manner, it's like, listen, you know, we're getting ready to make some changes in the household. these are the expectations that I expect to be followed. And, you know, they have to deal with that accordingly, you know, because they, depending on the circumstances and how things go down, you know, it's not really a blanket statement that I can make about it. But basically, you know, the Heavenly Father gave the parents the authority to make those decisions according to the scriptures in their household and to enforce it, you know. So as far as how to actually deal with it, you know, there are a lot of different things that go into that. But the decision has to be made first by the parents, and they have to, you know, make sure that they enforce those things. And not only that, but also be able to provide some alternatives for the children as well, because it's not about you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that, because that's the perception that the world has, you know, about the Bible is about, oh, it's just a big old list of what I can't do. I always feel restricted. I feel like I'm burdened. It's not about that. And that's part of the, you know, again, going back to the example that the parents set for the children, you know, listen, the reason why I don't want you doing this is, number one, this is what the Lord said, but also let me show you what this leads to. Okay, let me show you some of the examples of some of the people that are involved in those things and what happened to them. Okay, let me show you, let me try to teach you the understanding of what the Lord said, because just because something doesn't happen to someone immediately, okay, I forgot what that scripture was. It says, though a sinner do evil a thousand times or something to that nature. And I'm mixing two scriptures up. It says, basically says, in thy security thou shalt be destroyed. But the thing is that the reason why we are compelled to do things that are contrary to the scriptures is because we never see the immediate consequence for it. We don't really understand that. And for a child which has a very, very narrow view on life, it's very hard for them to grasp that a lot of times.
And Kabar, you got any suggestions, recommendations on how a parent should go about managing a situation like that?
Absolutely. You know, the thing is, even when you go back to the article, and remember, we're just talking about, in that particular situation, one chair out of 40. And you would find that, you know, all those other chairs that they have, you can modify the way the girl was dressed, but none of these chairs was doing something where they was exposing parts of their body, where they was carrying themselves in an indecent way. They just waving their pom-poms, saying some words. You know, and those are chairs that they can actually, you know, partake in, you know, just within certain guidelines. And you see, you know, probably out of 40, you may have 20, 30, you know, that they're able to do. You know, it's just certain ones where it crosses a line, and that's what the parents' job is, to come in and say, you know, you're going out of the guidelines of that, but here goes the other 30 that you can actually do. And so, you know, as parents, we can equip our children with that.
Well, brothers, thank you so much for your participation, and thanks to all those who are listening in and those in the chat room. But most of all, thanks goes out to the Most High and His Son, Christ. Until next time, the Most High in the name of Christ bless you all. Shalom.
Brothers and sisters, thank you for visiting with us in the virtual living room of the Body of Christ Church. You can visit our website at thebocc.com. Or you can email us at bodyofchrist@newreach.com or call us at 877-871-1712. Until our next visit, the Most High in the name of Christ bless you. Shalom.